Did you know that the 4th of July is on a Thursday this year? That's going to be a full weekend of fun out on the deck, 4 days. But if your deck isn't what it used to be and you aren't using it for great family gatherings, you need to call my friends at All Weather Decks. All Weather Decks is a 24-time winner of the Angie Super Service Award. And they probably help one of your neighbors. Click on the map link at allweatherdecks.net. Call All Weather Decks today at 913-206-1974 or go to allweatherdecks.net and mention you heard it on 810. Call now and relax.
We've got Nick Leckie with us. Nick, good morning. How are you?
I'm great, Nate. How are you doing today, man?
I'm doing wonderful, and I'm wondering, is there tension in the Leckie household this week? Extra tension, more than normal?
No, because my son has disavowed Texas as of late. So we went to Austin last year to watch the match, and just wasn't a fan. So Todd will be happy to know that he's no longer a Texas fan. But we'll see come Saturday what gang colors he's repping, if it's purple or burnt orange.
Right. I'm glad to hear he came to his senses. It reminds me of when my younger brother was just a little guy, right? I have some cousins that are MU fans and grads, and they, at like 5 years old, they kind of convinced them to be an MU fan, and my father was just beside himself and disgusted. And it lasted for maybe about a year, maybe two. And then he came to his wits, and it sounds like maybe that's a similar thing in terms of, like, my brother, I think, was like, everybody else likes KU. I'm going to root for MU because my cousins are telling me to do that. Yep. And so it just made my father so irritated, but he eventually came around, and now he's a giant KU fan, just like the rest of our family, the good side at least. But,
So the reason I asked about the tension, because you've told us that your son has converted, you know, and become a full-fledged K-State fan, but there's that tension. I just wonder if there's that tension, like, okay, now we really find out, you know, now he's got to pick. Is he wearing purple or orange on Saturday? And is there any tension, or are you fully convinced that he's on board with the Wildcats now?
I'm not sure, because I always know I have, what is, he's 9, he'll be 10 this year, so I have, like, what, he's a fourth grader maybe, so we have 8 years to convert him.
Yeah.
So I'm playing along. I always play the long haul strategy and kind of let him figure it out, and then do enough brainwashing and have a lot of fun at K-State games that he'll be like, okay, man, that's a place to be.
Right.
And kind of like Inception, right, where you make it feel like it's his own decision, minus
right.
invading his dreams.
Right, right. Because yeah. you
I
just
don't
tell
have
him
money to take over an airline.
Because if you just tell him you will cheer for K-State today, that's a surefire way to get him to, I'll show you, Dad. You don't want that.
Oh hell yeah! Because he's me. Like I'm a contrarian. I'm like a knee jerk contrarian. Like you tell me to do something, nope, I'm gonna do the opposite just because I'm stubborn.
Spite, right. baby.
Dude, I cheered for the Raiders as a kid just to piss my dad off.
really? No. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
It took me a long time
That's
to admit
crazy.
That to come clean on the radio about that, you know. But yeah, that was it. And it wasn't until college that I finally realized, wait a second, this is so stupid. I'm cheering against my own town. You know, this is my town. But
exactly.
it felt so good to, you know, to
walk on the wild side.
Yeah, just like you said, to be, because I'm a contrarian too. You know, that's why Jake and I fight about everything, because we're both contrarians. So whichever thing Jake says, I'll just find a way to argue with it. No, there's no way you could say that.
What about Arsenal? Oh, wait, is Jake a Man U guy?
Absolutely.
Jake's a Man U guy.
There we go.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I gotcha. Hey, I brought up soccer talk. I did not, Nate. Let the record state.
You also referred to the football game that you watched as a match earlier. So you are you're all kinds of contrarian right now.
Well, that's a Zoolander. It's a subtle Zoolander reference, right? When Zoolander goes in, he goes, "Who's winning the match?" I've always loved that. Any sporting event to me is a match.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Or as a buddy of mine who lived in Southern California for a while told me that, like, you know, it just sports just aren't as important there and as they are to us here. And he said he had a roommate that would come in every once in a while, and he'd be watching the game and go, "Hey, why are you watching sports again?"
you sound like a 21 Jump Street narc, right?
Yeah.
Hello, young people. How are you doing? Right?
Are you guys smoking some drugs? Are you guys watching sports again? Yeah.
Oh, that again, huh? You all right?
We're talking sports with Nick Leckie. Hey, Nick, I heard Tim Grunhard say yesterday, and it kind of caught my attention when he was on with Seren Petro, that he actually thought the Chiefs' offensive line had one of their worst games against the Bucs. What, as an offensive lineman yourself, what did you think of the of that performance on Sunday?
Yeah, I would 100% agree with that statement, with the qualifier saying that it's probably Tampa has, and we talked about it, remember we talked about it around draft time, right, when Brady chose to go there?
Mm-hmm.
They have one of the best O-lines and one of the best D-lines. So they that D-line really turned it on in, like, the second, third, fourth quarter. And they were just, I think the O-line, just, they didn't play well. And BJ and I went into this on our podcast, Outside the Trenches, this week. Check it out. But it's a lot of movement, like where they're lining up JPP, and they were lining up Ndamukong Suh, like JPP as the over the right guard, and then Suh over the right tackle, and just creating those mismatches along the offensive line, attacking the right side, the supposed, you know, not inferior to the left side, and they really got after it with four, and so it's nothing like glaring or concerning, but I think as an offensive line, you have to play together to sort of build a wall or a barrier protection. And I think a lot of the times, you know, some of those guys were trying to jump set, which kind of leave that right tackle on the island. So the right guard will try to, like, run block almost is what it looks like. And then that right tackle, it gives a two-way go to that right tackle or that defensive end over the right tackle. And really makes his job that much harder. So they just got to get more in line, get better, set at the same depth.
So,
yeah, I would agree with Granny.
Okay, so, and by the way, I appreciate the shameless plug again. Tell people where they can check out Outside the Trenches with you and BJ Kissel.
I have no clue. YouTube, Twitter, I don't know.
Wherever you consume your podcast.
Your video content, your podcast.
Whatever you choose to consume your podcast with. That's where you go find it.
Here's what I'll tell people to do.
And that's all I needed.
Yeah, follow Nick Leckie on Google Twitter. Follow Nick Leckie on Twitter at Mr. Leckie, and he's tweeted out a link to it right there. You can follow BJ Kissel at Let It Fly BJ, and also at Outside Trenches. So there you go. You follow those things on Twitter, you get the links right there. How's that sound?
Thanks, Nate. I appreciate that. Yeah, I'm like I said, I'm like laissez-faire, right? I'm like the epitome of laissez-faire. Leave alone. Like, hey, it's where it is. You know, if you're interested, Google it, right? I'm trying to teach people, especially people who don't know how to use the internet to research things, to Google things.
Google
box. You know, you could even do Siri. Ask Siri how to do it. Siri will find it, too.
Hey,
it's
Google.
Not the Vince Young one.
My phone doesn't have the silent function. All phones have the silent function. It's right here. That's my favorite. Oh, that commercial.
That's a great commercial. It really is.
The pillows, the decorative pillows part of that commercial, that is my life right there. So I'm.
Oh, man. I am a mere foot soldier in my household.
Right.
But one thing I railed against was unnecessary throw pillows on the bed.
Right.
Like I said, I don't have much power in my household. I am a foot soldier. But that was the one thing that I took a stand on. I was like, we are not having a billion decorative pillows on this bed. Because guess what? I'll never make this bed if that happens.
Well, you know what? That's been the case in our house. And Jake convinced me last week, instead of complaining about the fact that we have six pillows that sit on the floor in our bedroom all month long until the one day a month that we actually make the bed. He's like, why don't you start making your bed every day and then it won't be an issue. And I made it one day in a row.
That's pretty smart.
But I'm working on it. I need to start I'm going to start making the bed just now those damn pillows have somewhere to be.
2 days in a row.
Yeah.
Right.
And baby steps.
Right. Right.
There's something to be said about having discipline.
Push-ups. Yeah, I'm going to do push-ups like that. I'm going to start with one push-up today, and tomorrow I'll do two push-ups.
There you go. There you go.
Good one, Jake.
We're making progress with Nick Leckie. Hey, you also tweeted out yesterday, 2 days ago, Steve Young just spoke some truths regarding the New Orleans versus Denver game. I didn't see what he said. So can you paraphrase for me? Because we're all trying to figure out why the Broncos got treated the way they did and why the Ravens, who had two more positive tests yesterday, are getting treated the way they are.
So it's always funny to me, like, you always want to, like, if you're a figure, any sort of figure, like, I guess I'm a figure or character because I played in the NFL for 6 years. So you never really want to, I guess, bite the hand that feeds you, so to speak, right? You never want to speak out against the NFL. But I always thought Steve Young was a goofy. He was goofy. But I really enjoy his segments on Monday Night Countdown. And what he did was he essentially pretty much called out the NFL, saying how the treatment of the Ravens Steelers was nonsense because they said there's an outbreak, right? And so they're like, oh, we'll postpone it two or three times. Meanwhile, Denver doesn't have a quarterback, and they got to play some practice squad wide receiver who played it in high school and a little bit in college, and they made him play the game. And to me, what he spoke on a level is essentially saying, listen, Denver, you're not really a playoff contender, and New Orleans is on top of the NFC as regarding, you know, the playoff race and getting that coveted first-round bye. And it's pretty much saying, you know what, but Pittsburgh and Ravens, you know, you're a TV matchup. We want to see Lamb in primetime, like, right? We want to see this essential, quintessential matchup play. And everyone else, like Booger, Adam Schefter, everything else was towing that company line. And Steve Young was like, no, my brother, this is BS. I'm calling it what it is. And I earned a lot of respect for Steve Young for speaking the truth and not trying to tote a policy, because it is BS. But everyone knows it. Denver sucks. Play their game. Take an L to New Orleans. Let's save that primetime matchup. And I thought that was pretty damn cool.
Yeah, you know what? I think it's all BS, maybe most specifically for Pittsburgh more than anybody else. And
yes.
And as a Chiefs
yes.
fan, I guess I'm good with it.
Yeah.
Screw
yeah,
with the
exactly.
Steelers all you can, you know?
Yeah. Exactly. You want them to get a loss to come down to Kansas City's level. Exactly, with the one-loss team. Absolutely.
But
yeah, and I am, too.
It is though, like, if you want to try to be objective about it, and you want to... The Steelers have been yanked around in this season by two teams that have had outbreaks on their team. And, I mean, the knock-on effect,
right.
What they're going to deal with, I don't blame them at all for being really angry about the way this situation's gone down.
Yeah, I know, right? Because they had the Titans game move
yep.
back, right?
Yep.
Yeah, that's right. I wonder if it's like the strategy, because I thought Pittsburgh was almost near complete last year. Just losing Roethlisberger just hurts them. And now they're, oh, my God, they're a destructive juggernaut. Like, they are unreal. So if you're Pittsburgh, man, you're pissed. Because you're like, well, we don't play a team without Lamb. That'd be great. That'd be glorious for us, right? It'd be an easy win. Such an easy win.
How do you feel in terms when you handicap the Chiefs versus the Steelers at this point in time?
At this point in time, man, I love Tom Brady. I'll qualify that. And I think that he made some difficult throws. He also made some bad throws. And he's mm-hmm. shown a little bit of signs of age if you look at cumulatively over the season. He's still great. But I think Pittsburgh is that team to beat. Not only because they're undefeated, but just, I mean, their old line is good. They're all healthy. Their D-line is dominant. I still can't believe the Dolphins screwed the rest of the NFL by trading them Minka Fitzpatrick. I thought that was silly. So, I hate to say this because, you know, obviously, I think Pittsburgh would be a great battle. It would, and I think that be much like the Tampa game, where we're thinking high scoring, like, you know, 42-35 type game where depending on which way the ball bounces and if the defense, the Chiefs can get two red zone picks, that might be the deciding factor or hold them to a field goal one drive.
I don't assume you expect the Chiefs to have any problems with the Broncos this coming weekend.
Honestly, I don't, but you never know with divisional games and if they get their quarterbacks back. And, you know, always never overlook divisional games. Like, I think that's what happened to the Chiefs when they played the Raiders, and they hosted the Raiders earlier in the season, and the Raiders just played their Super Bowl. Because, you know, NFL team, you know, the talent is there. It's just a matter of, you know, if everything's in lining that day. So I think for Denver, it's going to be their Super Bowl, much like the Raiders were. A couple weeks ago, when they beat the Chiefs, so
I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying.
Right?
You know, there's the NFL talent on that roster, but coaches still
exactly.
have to coach, and it's
correct.
A giant mismatch and mammoth.
Yeah, it definitely is. It really is. But then it's not really because you're still in the NFL, and in seriously, I believe in this term. It's not just me, I say to my kids, but any given day, man. Anyone can be beaten, right? If you don't bring your A game, you're still in the NFL for Christ's sakes, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, depending on if they have a quarterback, though, that's for sure.
Well, and the quarterback situation got a little interesting as well, because we've talked about this on the show a little bit. Drew Locke's mom went out on social media and had a long post defending her son and his practices, you know, with the alleged lack of wearing a mask and all of that that led them to the situation where they couldn't play last week and the criticism he's been under. And I'm just kind of curious what you think. She might have made a lot of great points in that, but I know Mr. Locke then posted on social media, I tried to take her phone away to kids. You know, like, because you played in the NFL for 6 years. I just played high school sports, and thank God there was no social media whatsoever when I was a high school athlete. But I just know how much it drove me nuts if my dad was sitting behind home plate yelling at the umpire. You know, like, Dad, please, you know, please stop doing this. What is that going to be like for Drew Locke in an NFL locker room with his mom? I guess a lot of parents do it these days, though. Maybe it's not as big of a deal in today's world because everybody's got their social media voice. We hear from Patrick Mahomes' mom all the time.
It's still a pretty big deal, though.
That's a big post, though. What do you think, Nick?
I you know, it's tough. You always hate for anybody's parents to be critical of what you're doing, and it sort of speaks on the knowledge that you're giving your family. Of what's going on, so that's what she was speaking on. But it's mom. Everyone knows. Everyone who's in that Denver locker room knows that moms are overprotective, and that they love and they care for you, and they just want to see the best outcome. Right when you get into that sort of mama bear mode, so it's not a big deal within the locker room, I would imagine, where it's like, oh, you're like, hey man, I have your mom on Twitter. Like, we get it. It's cool.
Yeah,
it's not a big deal. It's not going to cause tension or anything like that. If anything, you know, it'd be some talking points for us here in the media. But no, it's not going to cause any drama or anything like that. Because, you know, you sort of have to, you know, sort of stick your head in the dirt and not really listen to too much outside influences.
Go on the other side of that. Like, you talk about, Nate asked you about his own locker room. What's it going to be like? Is that something like trash talking on the field? Is there something to that? Like,
is Chris Jones going to be saying stuff to Drew Locke?
Hey, is your mom going to tweet that I tackled you too hard, Drew?
No, because I think that's one of the things, like, you know, you might be one thing to say yo mama jokes in the locker room as fun, but you don't want to say that in the field. I think that's the untouchable is moms. And unless you're Marco Materazzi talking to Zidane's sister about Zidane's sister, right, in the World Cup final.
Hey, that gets you. Hey, there's a soccer siren right there. But for those of us that know soccer, no, that was maybe one of the most a guy blacked out and completely lost his senses in the biggest moment of his life.
And it cost me so much money.
you had money on France in that game?
I was in Vegas.
That was the Zidane headbutt.
In Vegas. Yeah. And I was like, no, doing good. Got my ticket.
Oh my gosh.
And then that happened. I'm like, oh no. Oh no. And I just watched a pile of money dwindle away.
Over time. I mean, no player in the history of players has ever been baited as hard as Zidane headbutted Materazzi in the final, in the overtime of the World Cup finals.
Yes.
Like, come on, guy.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. I mean, that's Frank Clark was talking a lot of trash on Garoppolo last year in the Super Bowl, but Garoppolo's not going to go headbutt him. You know?
No.
So, yeah, no. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see. Like, for Drew Locke, though, you got to go play well. I mean, all this other stuff, you know, there's going to be trash talk no matter who you are, no matter what you do.
Yeah.
The guys on the other team are going to try to get in your head and talk trash on you. The bottom line is, for his own locker room, he's got to play better, right? If he goes out and plays well, then they're not going to care what his mom's tweeting or anything like that.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think that's the biggest smoother of rough edges is to win. You know, the week after a loss, it's such a depressing place in any facility. It just, you're like, crap, like, you know, loss. Everyone's kind of like in mourning, truly. Like, even Monday when you go in to watch film, Tuesday you're off, and Wednesday you start it up, you're like, all right, well, let's focus on the next team and let's put that crap behind us.
So we've got Nick Leckie with us. Let's transition, because I think we all think, like you said, any given Sunday anything can happen, but the Chiefs are big time favorites against the Broncos, and I think we all agree with that. Yeah. Okay. So, hey, Texas versus K-State. This game is at 11 o'clock on Fox on Saturday. And you want to talk about a loss that's going to leave a team stung. The Texas Longhorns. How does Sam Ellinger take that sack, by the way?
I am baffled at that decision making, where it's like you just sit in the pocket, like make something happen. Like I just like just, oh my God. By the way, watching, I would like to note too that we get so spoiled watching Mahomes, Andy Reid, and Bieniemy combo for us that everything else we see, even when I watch other NFL games, it's like, what are you doing? Like, why don't you make that pass off your back foot across your body 50 yards in the air across the field, right? It's like, why don't you make the other quarterback? So to watch college football after that, it's like, oh, God. And just the decision-making in college football, like when they're out of the pocket, it's like, just throw it away. And they take sacks, like when they go out of bounds, like negative 2 yards. Like, what are you doing? Like, as an O-lineman, I'm like, I'm yelling at the screen, like, I'm looking at the quarterback, like, I hate you. Like, why would you do that? And I'm not even on your team.
Well, I think most of us find it pretty easy to root against Texas. Ellinger with the, you know, we're back thing from
always. My God.
You know, it's like
a toothless Georgia in the whatever bowl, Sugar Bowl, whatever it was. Yeah.
You know, and the thing is, like, those moments right there, that's your moment. Right? Like, you can't.
It does. Perpetuates it.
Yeah. You have to win that game. Not if you're bad. Texas. You're at home. You got a chance to get to the Big 12 championship game. You cannot take that sack. So now we wonder about the job security of the coach. You got to wonder how Texas is going to respond. They are 10-point favorites against K-State, and I know K-State had they suffered a last-second loss as well. But what do you think of the Cats' chances going down there?
I mean, obviously, I like it. You know, I think that 11 o'clock games are ripe for upsets. Just because it's early, especially if you're a college player, 11 o'clock, man, you got to wake up. So you got to be at the stadium at 9. So, you know, you're up and at them like at 6 or 7. So it's like, you're like, wake up, eat breakfast, get to the stadium. And it's just, it's a condensed timetable, and you're getting early kickoff before anyone else. And, I think they're ripe for the upset. I think, you know, things are not really clicking offensively. I can't run, but the defense has played rock solid all year, man. So defense and special teams will have to come through to support the offense.
Well, Nick, it's going to be another fun football weekend, man. We appreciate the time as always.
Thanks, gents. Have a great one. Happy Wednesday.
It's game day. It's Wednesday game day. You know, Wednesday afternoon NFL football, just like always. It's one of my favorite traditions.
Yeah, are they playing in England? Are they 6 hours ahead? What the hell?
Hey, look, the Champions League is going on across the board at 2 o'clock, and then 2:40 you got NFL. I mean, just, you know, it's football and football all day. It's just amazing.
All types of football. Football and hand egg.
That's right. Football and hand egg. Nick, thank you so much, and we'll remind everybody again to listen to Outside the Trenches with Nick Lecky and BJ Kissel. It's on you to figure out how to
You're a pro. Consume. You're a pro. Yeah. You're a pro, Nate. Thank you.
I'm trying, man. We'll talk to you next week, Nick.
All right. See you, gents.
As Nick Lecky. What a good dude, man. What a good dude. Love Nick Lecky. Always excited to talk to him. We will have Stephen St. John back with us right after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.